Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Peches. Right on top of the Amud says the Gemara, Toshma, we'll move our discussion regarding the Machlekes between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan about the configuration of the calendar during the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara told us that all agree that Klal Yisrael arrived at Har Sinai on Rish Chodesh Sivan. All agree as well that the Torah was given on Shabbos. The question is merely, what day of the week did Rish Chodesh Sivan fall out on? According to Rabbi Yossi, Rish Chodesh Sivan was on Sunday. And according to the Rabbanan, Rish Chodesh Sivan was on Monday. Says the Gemara, Toshma, let's bring a raya from the following brice. The Sanya, B'Seder Olam, we learned that brice in Seder Olam, this was a compilation of brices, which was actually compiled by Rabbi Yossi. So the brice says as follows, Nisan Shebayotsu Yisrael Mitzrayim. So this month of Nisan, when Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Ba'ar Ba'asar, on the 14th day of Nisan, Shachtu Pischeim, they shechted the Karim Pesach, Ba'chamish Asar, on the 15th day of that Nisan, Yotsu, they left Mitzrayim. Ve'oysa Hayom, on that day, the day, the 15th day of Nisan, which day of the week was it? Ve'oysa Hayom, that day, Erev Shabbos Hayom, it was actually Erev Shabbos. So based on this, let's figure out the rest of the month. So if day number 15 falls that on Friday, apparently day number 1 was Friday as well. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on a Friday. 15 days later was again Friday. Now, once we know this, says the Gemara Umedresh Yarcha, the Nisan, once we know that Rosh Chodesh Nisan fell out on Erev Shabbos, Resh Yarcha De'ir Chad B'Shabbat. So once we know this fact, then we can figure out when Rosh Chodesh Iyar fell out. Once again, Umedresh Yarcha Denisan Erev Shabbos, since we know that Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on Erev Shabbos, Resh Yarcha De'ir Chad B'Shabbat. We can conclude that Rosh Chodesh Iyar was on Sunday. Why? Because if Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on Friday, now how many days is Chodesh Nisan comprised of? So Chodesh Nisan was generally a Chodesh Mala, a full month of 30 days. So if it begins on Friday, when does it conclude? It concludes on Shabbos, 30 days later. Now, if Nisan finishes on Shabbos, so the next day, which is Chodesh Iyar, is on Sunday. Rish Yarcha De'ir Chad B'Shabbat. Now, Iyar generally had 29 days. So if Iyar begins on Sunday, so day number 1 is Sunday, so 29 days later is again a Sunday, right? 4 weeks plus a day. So again, it's the same day. Now, if so, when was Rosh Chodesh Sivan? V'Sivan Betrei B'Shabbat. Apparently, Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on Monday. Kashya Rabbi Yossi. We have a kashya on Rabbi Yossi's opinion. He maintains that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was actually on Sunday. Omlech Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi will respond and say, Ha'mani Rabbanani. This bryce reflects the opinion of the Rabbanan, who indeed hold that Rosh Chodesh Sivan fell out on a Monday. However, I maintain it was on a Sunday. So it seems that Rabbi Yossi, in his compilation into Seder Olam, actually included opinions which differed with his opinion. So this price reflects the Shita of the Rabbanan. Continues the Gemara, Toshma, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, B'Sheini Allah, on the second day of their arrival at Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu went up, he ascended up on Har Sinai. So B'Sheini Allah Moshe, on the second day he went up, V'Yorad, and he descended, he came down. So he went up and he heard from Hashem, the word that Hashem wanted to convey to Klal Yisrael. I would like you to be for me a Mamleches Koyahanin V'Goy Kadosh, a special nation, a kingdom of Koyahanim, of priests. And he took those words and relayed them to Klal Yisrael. So he went up and came back down and relayed those words to Klal Yisrael. Basheni Ola Moshe V'Yorad. Bashlishi, on the third day of their arrival at Har Sinai, again, he went up and came back down. Ola V'Yorad. So he went up and he heard from Hashem the Tzivoy of Hagbola, that meant to instruct Klal Yisrael to create that boundary, to cordon off the Har Sinai. So he heard that, came back down, relayed that to Klal Yisrael. B'dalet, on the fourth day of their arrival at Har Sinai, Yorad, he came down, v'shuv lo yola, and did not go back up again until the Kabbalah Satorah, when he went up with the others. Says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me on Wednesday, he didn't go up, He merely came down. Meichan Yorad. Where did he come down from if he didn't go up? Ella, rather as follows. Berevi, on the fourth day, all of Yorad. So he went up and came back down. Bechamishi, Bonim Mizbeach, on the fifth day of their arrival, he built a Mizbeach. Vikrival of Karban. He was Makrival on the Mizbeach of Karban. Bashishi, on the sixth day of their arrival, Lo Yahya Lo Pinai, he didn't have time. He didn't have the opportunity to go back up to Har Sinai. So it's more, why not? My love, Mishum Torah, apparently because that day was overtaken by Matan Torah. It was a time for Aseres HaDibros. And he couldn't go up himself. That was a time when he went up with the other Har Sinai to be Makabel the Torah. So apparently, when was the Torah given to Klal Yisrael? On the sixth day of their arrival. This is a raya to the Shitas Rabbanon, who tell us that Yisrael arrived at Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, which was Monday, and the following Shabbos the Torah was given, which is the sixth day of their arrival. However, according to Rabbi Yossi, it was actually the seventh day of their arrival, because he maintains Rosh Chodesh fell out on Sunday, that was the day of their arrival, and only 7 days later on Shabbos was the Torah given. Says Umar, no, that wasn't the reason why he didn't have time to go up to Har Sinai because of the Torah. No, loy. Mishum Torah Shabbos, rather, because of a different reason, because of Torah Shabbos, he was preoccupied with preparations for Shabbos. So apparently even the man required preparation, as the Torah tells us, meant to cook it or break it and prepare it for Shabbos. So that's what he was busy with on the sixth day of their arrival, which was Erev Shabbos. So once again, according to Rabbi Yossi, there's no steer here, because he maintains that the Shabbos was, the Torah was given on the seventh day of their arrival, and on the sixth day, he needed to prepare for Shabbos, and that was the reason why he couldn't go back to Har Sinai. Continues the Gemara, Dorash. Ha'u Glila, this fellow from the Golol, he was Dorash, he expounded, Alei de Rav Chisda, in front of Rav Chisda, as follows. He was extolling the virtues of the Torah that Hashem gave us. He said, Brich Rachmana Baruch Hashem, the Yohav, Urion. He granted, Urion is the Torah, Tlisoi, a triple Torah. It's comprised of three sections, Torah, Navi, Miksuvim, a triple Torah. Le'am Tlisoi, he granted it to a triple nation, which is composed of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. How did he give it to us? Al-Yidei Tlisoi, through Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a third. He was a third born to his mother. So he came after Miriam and Aaron. So he was a third. B'yom Tlisoi, it was granted on the third day, Rashi says the third day of Prisha. B'yachat Tlisoi, on the third month, Chodesh Sivan. So whose Shita does this reflect? Kiman Kirabbanon. Apparently we found the Shita Rabbanon, who maintain that the Yimei Prisha, the days of separation, began only on Thursday. So there was Thursday and Friday, and then came Shabbos. The third day was the day of the Torah. However, according to Rabbi Yossi, there were 3 days actually prior to Matan Torah of Yimei Prisha. They began on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and only on the fourth day, the day following those 3 Yimei Prisha, was Matan Torah. So this statement apparently reflects Rabbanan Shita, that the Torah was given on the third day from the commencement of the Yimei Prisha. Now, the Mepharshim explained what's so unique about three, triple, and how does it relate to specifically to Torah. So it explains as follows, that Torah represents number three, this third dimension, because we have Shemayim, heaven, we have Eretz, earth below. They represent two diametrically opposed entities. The Shemayim is the heavenly realm, the realm of spirituality. The Eretz, the earth below, is the physical environment. Those two things don't drive, don't really relate to each other. They're the two opposites. However, through Torah mitzvahs, a Yid recreates this world. He brings down that Torah, that mitzvahs, and uses his physical abilities within this physical environment. He uses the materials of this world for the fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs. He makes a Mishkan for Hashem, a Beis HaMikdash, v'shachanti v'seichem. Hashem rests and dwells within us, within our physicality. So, by doing so, he recreates this world. He creates that new dimension. He fuses Shomayim and Earth, the spirituality, with the physicality of this world. He creates a new dimension, a third dimension. He elevates and transforms this world into a new creation, new identity, into a new entity. He brings the spirituality, the ruchnis of the Shomayim, embeds it and absorbs it within the Earth below. Continues the Gemara. So Klal Yisrael were standing, they stood up underneath the mountain. What do you mean underneath the mountain? Weren't they standing around the mountain? Says the Gemara, Omer Avdimi Barchama Barchasa. Melamed, this teaches us, Shekof HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem, Hashem overturned the mountain. He had it hover above them. Kof HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem as a har kigig, it's like an overturned vat. So this mountain was positioned above them and around them. They were within this overturned vat, this overturned mountain. V'amar lehem, he told them as follows, Im atam mekavlim satorah, if you accept the Torah upon yourself, mutav, then good. V'im lav, but otherwise, Shem teik v'raschem, right there will be your place of burial. Now Tosis asked the Kasha, why was this necessary? They've already accepted the Torah upon themselves. They've already said Nasa v'nishma. Says Tosis, Hashem was concerned that perhaps when they're exposed to the frightful sights of Matan Torah, this Eishak Doila, where their neshama actually left their bodies, it was a very frightful experience. Perhaps they'll change their minds. Therefore, Hashem wanted to ensure that their commitment was etched in stone, was absolute and unwavering. Therefore, He presented them with this ultimatum: be makabel the Torah right here now. And this is the pshat in Vayisyasu besachte Sahar, underneath the actual mountain. Omar of Acha bar Yaakov, Mikan. From here we see Moido Rabba Loiraisa. This actually generates a very, very strong grounds. A Moido Rabba, very strong grounds of notification of coercion with regard to the Torah. So a Moido is something which one would generally do before he's expecting to be coerced into doing something under duress, to execute a transaction under duress, ba'inus. So he goes and he makes that statement, Moidah Rabba, I know that I'm about to do something against my will. It shouldn't have any legal weight. So here too, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, since the Kabbalah Satorah was ba'inus, was through this form of coercion. So this presents a strong grounds for Moidah, for notification that this was done ba'inus. And they're not really responsible. As Rashi says, if they're summoned, Klal Yisrael is summoned to a din, why didn't you fulfill your commitment? Why didn't you keep the Torah? Well, they could say, it was done ba'inus. It wasn't done willingly. Continues the Gemara. Nevertheless, Amar Rava, Afal Bikain, nevertheless, Hodur Kibluo B'mei HaShverish. They re-accepted it during the days of HaShverish, when Klal Yisrael experienced that tremendous nace. And that generated a feeling of love and ava to Hashem, and brought them to the point that they were makabel the Torah once again, may ava out of love. The chesiv, as it says in Megillas Esther, kimu v'kibul ayudim. We learn kimu, they established, they were makayim, ma shekibul kfar, what they've already previously accepted. So this time they accepted it with ava. It was no longer considered to be an acceptance mi'oines, rather mi'ava. I saw this from the Medrash Tanchuma, who gives another reason why the Hashem was needed to be kaif for the Har Kegigis, all that they already said Nasa V'Nishma. So the Medrash Tanchuma says that Nasa V'Nishma related to merely Torah Shebichsav, which is in a way easier to learn Torah Shalpeh, which requires much more exertion and tircha. And therefore Hashem needed to do this procedure, to have them commit to the difficult learning experience, difficult and rewarding learning experience of Torah Shabbat Peh as well. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Chizki. May dechsev, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Mishamayim, from heaven, ishmat din, you've heard forth your din, your Torah. Eretz, the Eretz, Yora, feared, vishakata, and was calmed. Says the Gemara, what are these two things? Fear and calm, they don't really go hand in hand. Im Yora lo mishakata. If it feared, why was it calm? If it was calmed, why was it in a state of fear? Ella, rather, betchila yara. So indeed, they didn't both take place at the same time. Initially, the earth experienced fear, but eventually, shakata, it calmed down. Why? V'loma yara, why was it afraid? What is the meaning of the following pasuk? So when it comes to the first day of Bris Olam, says Vayer Vayvekir Yom Echad, then Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. However, when it comes to the sixth day, the Torah uses a unique term, Yom Hashishi. Hey Yisera Lameli, why this extra hey? As Rashi points out, whenever we have an hey, it is denoting, it implies something unique, something known, something special. So this Yom HaShishi is referencing some sixth day, which is meant to be known and unique. Says the Gemara, indeed, the Torah here is hinting to a very special day number six. The day number six, which was the sixth day of Sivan, when Klal Yisrael were presented with the Torah, Melamed Shehisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masbereishis. This teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was Hisna, he set down a condition, he stipulated with the Masbereishis, with the work of creation. So at the end of the Bria Soil on the sixth day, he said as follows, Varmalam, Im Yisrael Mekav Ma Torah, if eventually, during that sixth day of Sivan, Klal Yisrael will accept the Torah, which is the true objective and the goal of the entire creation, to bring this whole world, this whole physical world, to its completion, to its shleimus. So that's the purpose of the Bria, Bishvil HaTorah, Bishvil Yisrael. So indeed, if they are Mekabel HaTorah, Atam Iskaim, you will have existence. V'im Lav, but otherwise, Ani Machzer Eschem L'Soivavayu, I restore you to absolute nothingness. So that's the pshat that Hashem said, Vayer Vayvekir Yom HaShishi, at the conclusion of the creation of the world, you should know that your whole entire existence is pending on the acceptance of the Torah by Klal Yisrael on that sixth day of Sivan. Let's perhaps take a look at Rashi inside. Let's back up a bit to Rashi, 20 lines from the top of the Amud. Rashi begins with the words, Tachti Sahar. So they stood underneath a mountain, Tacha Sahar Mamash, literally under the mountain. Gigis, so the mountain was hovering above them like a gigis, like a vat, shematil moshecher, where they process where they place inside, they pour the beer inside. Moido rabba, so this was generated grounds for this notification. Shem yazminim ladin, Hashem summons them to a din. Lama lo kiyamtem, mashikeh ba'altem aleichem, why didn't you feel what you've accepted upon yourself? Yesh lam tshuva, they have a response. Shikeh blu ma'oinus, that the Kabbalah was be'oinus, was a result of coercion. However, they accepted it mi'ava sanes, as a result of the love generated in their hearts, mi'ava sanes shenaslam, as a result of the nes that was done for them. So din, Hashem was mashmiya the din, the Torah from Shemayim, and the Gemara tells us the earth feared and then was calmed. Yora, betchila koydem shomer Yisrael nasam nishma, before nasam nishma, Yora, the earth was feared. Shema lo yikabluah, perhaps they won't be mekabel Torah. V'yachzur olam, the world will be restored, will return to soiv avayu, to absolute nothingness. K'dir shlokish u'basoif, and eventually, k'dir shikabluah, when they did accept the Torah, then at that point, the earth calmed down. Yoyim ha'shishi, ma'ishna d'chsiv hei. Why does the Torah add the letter hei? B'yoyim gemar masperation, on that last day of creation, melamed she'isna tishas Hashem, set down a stipulation, ha-shishi, with the word ha-shishi, mashma, ha-shishi ha-myuchad makamachar, a special unique day, known from elsewhere, g'damina ba'alma ha-yorach ha-myumena, so the word hey, denotes something unique and special and known. Afkan here as well, vay-erev vay-voyker, shal gmar bereshis. So the last day of Briyas Olam, tolu b'yom ha-shishi, is dependent on the yom ha-shishi, that unique. Sixth day, v'hu, it's referring to the Shishi bin Nisan, Shinitna by Torah, Miribu Dehe Dorish bin Amiha. Continues the Gemara. Dorish Rabbi Simai, Bishah Sheikh Dimu Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael preceded, when they uttered a very unique utterance, they committed themselves to Hashem in a very absolute manner. They were Magdim, Nasil Nishma, they said, we're going to do, even before we know what it's all about. We're committing ourselves absolutely to Hashem's mitzvahs. So at that point, when they were maktim, they preceded the word nasa, we're going to do, l'nishma, they did it before, they uttered that before they said nishma, we're going to hear. This is a very unique commitment. So they were zaychat, something very special. Bo shishim ribui, shamalach asharis. So 60 ribui, which is, ribui is 10,000, so 600,000 malachim, which correspond to the number of Klal Yisrael. There's a girsi that says, ula kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael. And to every one individual of Klal Yisrael, kosher l'shnei ksarim, they tied onto him two crowns. Echad k'neged nasa, one corresponding to the word nasa, Ve'echal keneged nishma, and one keneged nishma. I once heard a beautiful pshat. Why specifically crowns? Because the crown is placed over, on top of the head of a person, above his machshava, his intellectual ability. It represents something which is higher than one's intellectual capacity. Here too, this absolute commitment, this unwavering, so to speak, irrational commitment of Nasa Nishma, it's an absolute commitment beyond intellect. It's something not comprehended or understood. It's an absolute, unwavering commitment. We're going to do whatever you tell us to do. We want to connect to you on the highest form, on the highest level. So we're going to do Nasa. It's absolute, regardless of what it entails. That's something which is beyond human intellect. That's higher than the person's mind. And indeed, there was echad to these ksarim, these crowns, which were tied to them above their heads. Continues the Gemara. V'kivan shechatu Yisrael. So when Klal Yisrael sinned, they did the chet ha'egel, yardu, me'ev esen riba malachi chabala. So they lost the ksarim, 120 riba, 120 times 10,000, malachi chabala. Malachim of destruction came down, descended to Pirkum, and they unloaded those ksarim, they removed them from Klal Yisrael. Asked Taisus, why was the amount doubled when they came down to remove it? Says Taisus, because of Midah Toivah Meruba. The a good thing, it goes easier. It's something which works quicker and easier, so to bring down those ksarim initially only required 600,000 malachim. Each one was able to bring down two ksarim. However, when it came time to remove it, they needed to have one malach per crown. So the malachim removed the crowns. Shenemar, as it says, "Vayisnatzlu beYisrael as edyum." They were stripped of their edyum, of their decoration of these crowns, me'ar chayrev, which they received from har chayrev. Amar Abcham Rachanina, v'chayrev tanu, was actually by chayrev Har Sinai that they were loaded up by these crowns. The crowns were placed on them. Bechoyrev parku. So at Har Sinai, Tanu they put them on, and also at that same location, parku, they unloaded the crowns. Bechoyrev Tanu kadamaram. They had them placed on their heads by Har Sinai, as we just said, that the Vayisyatsu Yisrael as Edyum Har Chayrev. It's referring to the crowns which they received by Har Chayrev. Bechayrev Parku, how do we know that they were unloaded right there then at that same location? The Chsivet, it says Vayisnatzlu Yisrael. Yisrael was stripped of their Edyum of these crowns. Har Chayrev. From Har Chayrev and on, they were missing these crowns, meaning that it was removed at Har Sinai, and from there on, from Har Chayrev and on, they did not have it any longer. Om Rabbi Yechon, v'kulon zocha Moshe v'notlon. Moshe ben was zoche, he merited to have these crowns transferred to him. The samach lei, because the pasuk immediately following that pasuk, which says v'yisnaflo, that the crowns were stripped, it says Moshe yikach asoil. So we dash the Moshe yikach, he took those crowns, and he was zoche to those, all those ksar. Omer shlokish osak shbarach lachzir lanu. Hashem in the future will restore, will return those crowns to us. Shenemar uvdu Hashem yeshuvan, and the redeemed ones from Hashem will return. Uvot in Rina, they will return to Yerushalayim Berina with happiness and joy. V'simchas oylam al roisham. What does this mean? Simcha shem oylam, this joy that was there from way back, al roisham, the simcha that was on their heads from way back, that also will be restored and returned to Klal Yisrael. It's referring to the crowns that were placed on their heads. Amar Belaz, B'shar Sheikdimu Yisrael Nasa Nishma. At the point in time when Klal Yisrael uttered those words Nasa Nishma, they preceded Nasa to Nishma. Yosef Sabaskal, a heavenly voice called out and said, V'amar Lehen, Mi Gila Lebanai Razeh, who revealed to my children this secret? Shemalachi Asharis Mishnam Shemboi, that the Malachi Asharis utilizes this secret. This is their mode of operation. Nasa, absolute commitment, with no evil inclination whatsoever, without any other will, any other ratzon, nothing competing to ratzon Hashem. We're absolutely committed in any situation to do Hashem's ratzon. Nasa, we're going to do, and then just let us know what we're meant to do. This is something which resembles the operation of the malachim. The chesiv, as it said, regarding the malachim, Baruch Hashem malachim. So the malachim will bench Hashem, the gibayir koyach, strength of power, Oisei Dvorai. So they fulfill the word of Hashem. Lishmoyim Bekol Dvorai. To hear the words of Hashem. To hear the sound of His words. So the pasuk here, first lists doing, Oisei Dvorai, Malchum first fulfill, and then they hear. So Bereisha, Oisei, first they're committed to doing. It's a her, it doesn't exist in a Malach. So he's absolutely committed to doing what's in Hashem. He has no other will. V'hodah l'shma, and then they hear, they get their instructions. So here as well, Nasav Nishma, that was expressed by Klal Yisrael, expresses this utmost commitment to Hashem on the highest level. We're willing to do anything, anywhere, anytime. Just let us know what we're meant to do. Omer b'chom rachanina, my dechsiv, k'sapuach ba'atzei ayar. So the pasuk equates Klal Yisrael is analogous to an apple tree which grows ba'atzei ayar. Lama nimshul Yisrael tapuach. What is the connection? Lo yimelcha to tell you. Ma tapuach ze. Just as this apple, period kadem lalav, its fruit begins budding before, prior to its leaves. Af Yisrael, higdivu nasa nishma. Likewise, Klal Yisrael preceded nasa, doing, which is resembled with the fruit. So that came before nishma, which is resembled by the leaves. And Tosis asks that we don't find that the apple tree behaves any differently than other trees. Tosis says this tapuach is referring to the esrog tree. So the esrog actually comes before its leaves because we know that the esrog lasts on the tree for a while, for a number of years. So although the first year the leaves come first, but then when the leaves fall off, at the end of the year the fruit is still there and it precedes the leaves which come during the following year. Okay, so this was representative of it's indicative of the Nasa Benishma, which was a schus that Klal Yisrael expressed their commitment to Hashem in this manner. Says the Gemara, who stuki? There was this stuki, the Chazi L'Rava. He noticed Rava the Kama'ayim B'Shmaita. He was deeply immersed in his learning. V'yasva etz ba'asa did yade, and the hands of his hand were sitting to Sikara underneath his foot. V'kamayitzbu, and his foot was crushing them. V'kamabon etz basedom, and his fingers were gushing blood. Amarle, so he wasn't impressed. He said, Ama peziza, you hasty nation. Dekadmisu pu maichu, lud naichu, you've preceded your mouth to your ears. You first said nas, and then you said, okay, we're going to hear. This is an act of hastiness. Akati, you're still in that mode. Bipachzu saichu kamisu, you're still in that hasty mode. Look what's going on. You're not paying attention to what you're doing. You're so engrossed in your learning. Bereisha, so you weren't meant to say nasav nishma. First, you were meant to examine exactly what it entails. Bereisha, iboyecholim mishma, you should have listened and heard from Hashem. Imatzisu, kablisu, if you're able to fulfill, to be makabot, accept the Torah, you're meant to see what's involved before committing yourself unconditionally. V'loy, and if you can't be makabot, it's too difficult for you. Loy kablisu, you should not accept it. So you're meant to examine the content of the Torah before you were makabot the Torah. First you should hear, imatzisu kablisu, v'loy loy kablisu. Amalei, Sir Rava wasn't impressed. He responded very sternly. He said, Anan, the Sagina Mishlimusa. We, Klal Yisrael, who proceed with Shlimusa, absolute faith in Hashem, out of love, we trust Hashem. We know He won't overburden us with something which we can't fulfill, that we can't live by. We were confident that Hashem will give us something which is perfectly suitable and appropriate for us. Therefore, we can afford to say, Nasa, before we even know what's entailed in the Torah. So us, that we proceed b'shleimusa, k'sivan, regarding us, it says, tumas yisharim tanachem, the absolute faith of yisharim, or straight ones, tanachem, leads them, hanachin shibadis, fellows, the sagim b'lelusa, that they proceed with perverseness, k'sivu, it says, v'selef, b'igdim, the perverseness of these rebellers, yishadim, it robs them, and destroys them. So Rava responded very strongly, he said, yes, we are proud of what we did. We are absolutely connected to Hashem. We love Hashem. We trust in Him, and we believe that if Hashem gives us something, we have the ability to fulfill to be kind of the Torah. So, in summary, we discussed that the Torah is a triple entity. We discussed the fact that Hashem, He had the mountain hover above Klal Yisrael, and they were indeed the Mekabel at Be'ava in the days of Achashverosh. Hashem set forth a stipulation with the entire Bria, which was pending on the Kabbalah HaTorah. We learned about Nasa V'Nishma, about the Ksarim and the story with the Tzduki. Continues the Gemara. Omar Shmu Marachmeni Amar V'Yanesan. What is the meaning of the following pasuk in Shir Shirim? Hashem tells Kal Yisrael, who is described as a Kala here, Libav Tini Achoisi Kala, you brought me close to you. Libav Tini Ba'achas Me'inaych, you brought me close to you with one, through one of your eyes. What do you mean, one of your eyes? Be'tchila, initially, Ba'achas Me'inaych, it was only through one of your eyes. Le'kishetasi. However, when you actually fulfill the mitzvahs, you keep the Torah, be shtei naich, that is regarded as though you brought me close to you with both your eyes. Explains the Maharsha. Seeing the eye represents two realms. There's the eye and the mind. Seeing through the mind, intellectual vision. And then there's the actual physical eye which sees. So initially, batchila, when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, nasa v'nishma, that was on an intellectual level. So that's represented with Be'achas Me'inaych. That's symbolized with the concept of one eye, merely the intellectual eye, the mind's eye. But then, says the Gemara, Kshatasi, when you actually fulfill, you actualize that commitment, you do the mitzvahs, you do the Torah, that is bringing it down to realization, actuality. That is resembled in the concept of Shteinaych, both eyes, the eye of the real eye, the physical eye as well. So you brought me close to you. Amar Ula, Aluva Kala, a Kala who's shameless, Mizana Besuch Chuppah, Nus, within the Chuppah. This is regarding Klal Yisrael, who is regarded as a Kala. And they strayed, they turned to the eagle. At Har Sinai, which is considered to be the Makam, the Chuppah. Omar Rav Mari, brother of Shmuel. So Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, said as follows. Mikra. Where do we find this concept in the Pasuk? That Klal Yisrael strayed right there at the Chuppah, at Shamelech b'Msibui. The king was still at his banquet, near the Nosan Reichai. So the Nirdi is the fragrant. Fragrance Nosan Reichai has given away its Reach, has given it away to others. This is when Klal Yisrael strayed to the eagle. Omar Rav. However, even in this pasuk which describes Klal Yisrael straying and following the Avodah Zarah, the pasuk doesn't speak in derogatory terms. It still presents it in an endearing fashion. Dichsiv, because it says Nosan v'loy kosav esriach. The pasuk says that Klal Yisrael gave away its fragrance. It gave away to others. It committed itself, so to speak, to others, to the eagle. It turned away from Hashem. But it doesn't use a derogatory term. His sriach became putrid. The smell turned into something foul-smelling. So this is an expression of endearment from Hashem to Klal Yisrael, even when they did this aver. Tana Rabban, we learned in the Brice. Aluvim ben Ovim, those who allow themselves to get insulted and don't respond in kind. Shoymin Cherpasam, they hear their disgrace being expressed. Ve'enu Mishivin, and don't respond. Oysim Me'av, they do out of love of Hashem. Usmechem Yisur, and they're joyous, they're happy when Yisur come. They know Hashem knows best. Aleim Akosav Omer, on them the pasuk says, "V'oyav of those who love Hashem," and they know everything is from Hashem. Even when a human being curses him, insults him, that is also coming from Hashem. Hashem is sending him. He's a shliach. He's not doing anything on his own. So these people, "V'oyav of those people love Hashem," Kitzes Hashem and Shugrosay, are described as the sun coming out in its full glory, its full strength. Omer Yechna. What is the meaning of the following pasuk? Hashem Yitan Omer Hamevasrois Tzavarov. Says the Gemara called Dibur V'Dibur. Every word she asked Hagvura that Hashem spoke Nechlak L'Shivim L'Shenis, split up into 70 languages and related to all the 70 nations, 70 cultures of the world. That's the pshat Hashem Yitan Omer. So his words were placed, were directed Hamevasrois Tzavarov, which called out Tzavarov, this very large Tzava is a group, so to many groupings, many many nations were able to hear and understand the Torah. The Torah was expressed in all languages. Sofer Rav, all the multitudes. Continues the Gemara. Tani ve'rishmo. The Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk which relates to the Torah, Ukefatish yefoitzeit sala. Just like a hammer, he smashes the rock. So how is this created to Torah? Ma patish ze nechlak el kamal tzoytzitz. Just as this hammer, when it smashes the rock, it causes the rock to smash into slivers. Av kol diva v'diva shiotzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Likewise, every word that came out of Hashem, nechlak l'shivin l'shenis, was split into 70 languages. As Vasemis points out, all languages are really rooted in Lashon HaKodesh. And during Matan Torah, the spiritual source and root of all the languages and all the cultures of the world was revealed to be Megala, to highlight the fact that in its root, everything really is rooted in Kedusha and Torah, and spirituality and Ruchnis is the true essence, the core essence of everything, of all existence. Everything is really leading in the same direction to bring the world to its completion. Omar Rav Chananel bar Papa, my dechsiv, what is the meaning of the following pasuk? Shimu kinegidim adaber. So this is referring to the Torah again. Lama nimshalu diber Torah kinugget. Why was the Torah here equated to a nugget, a prince? Loimar lach to tell you as follows. Ma nugget zed, this prince, this person of high authority. Yeshbe lahomis lachis. He has the ability to kill. Av diber Torah yeshbe lahomis lachis. The Torah have the ability to be maimus and to be mechaya. Hainu damarav. This is what Rava meant to say. Ones who grasp the Torah with their right hand, Rashi says, means they're fully immersed in Torah. They're learning Torah to pursue spirituality for the sake of connecting to Hashem. That is maiminimba. They're fully immersed in Torah. Sama dechaye. The Torah for them is a sam, a medicine, a drug, which increases life. However, those who engage in Torah, grasping it with merely their left hand, they use it for ulterior purposes. They're learning the Torah to further their own agenda. It's not real. It's not genuine. The Torah is a samamavis. It brings them to spiritual death. Torah is like a medicine. A medicine can enhance a person's health if taken properly, but it could also ruin a person's health if he abuses the drug. Torah is that energy, that power. If one utilizes it properly, l'shem shamayim, to do the mitzvah, to learn for the sake of learning, that is a sama d'chayi that increases his life. If one uses it as a means to further his agenda, to disprove his friend, that's mas mi'ilimba, that's sama d'moysa. Davar ach, another pshat, Torah is equated to negidim, negidim kol dibur v'dibur. Every word, shiyotzim v'kash baruch hu, that Hashem spoke, they tie to it, snake sarm, two crowns. As Rashi points out, the words during Matan Torah here, we're speaking about during Matan Torah, was visible, it was tangible. So they tie two sarm on each word, Mashal explains. So they both represent the different realms of Torah. One crown represents the more revealed meaning of Torah, and the second crown represents the deeper level, the deeper meaning of Torah. Omer Shimon Levi. My dechsiv, tsroir hamar doidi li. Tsroir hamar is a bundle of fragrance. Doidi li is referring to Hashem, ben shaddai yolen. He will rest, ben shaddai, between my breasts. Omro k'nei zesrol, v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono nishalem, af al pi. Although, as a result of the cheta egel, shem meitzer, umeimerli. He brings me tsai, he brings me tsara. Umeimerli, and he embitters me. He brings me bitterness. So this was on account of the fact that they lost their ksarim as a result of the eagle. So although that's taking place, he's punishing me. So afal pi shemetzar, even though he is bringing me misfortune or memory and bitterness to me, doidi ben shaddai yolin. My doidi is referring to Hashem. Is ben shaddai yolin? He rests between my breasts. Rashi explains that right after the eagle, Hashem didn't leave Klal Yisrael, so to speak. He right away instructed them to build the Mishkan, which was this grand opportunity to have the Shekhinah rest amongst Klal Yisrael. And the Shekhinah rested by the Oran, Beishnei Habadim, between both poles of the Oran, which were configured in a way that they would actually protrude through the, they would push a bit through the Paroiches. They wouldn't stick all the way through, but they would push a bit through, and on the other side would appear like two Shadayish, like the two Shadayim, the two breasts of a woman. So the Shechina was Bein Shadayolin. So although Hashem is punishing me as a consequence of the Chata Egel, nevertheless, He rests on Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan. The pasuk says, "Eshkol haKoyfer Doidili beCharmei and Gedi." Says, "What does this mean? Me shaHakol Shaloi Eshkol is me, the one shaHakol Shaloi. Everything belongs to Hashem. Mechaperli, He tones for me al Avoin Gedi on the chait of the eagle. So Gedi is actually a goat, but it's referring to a domestic animal. So it's representing the chait eagle. Shekaramtili, that I've heaped for myself." As Rashi brings the desired many gods. So this is an atonement for the Echet Eagle, my mashma. Where do we find the Hai Karmi, Lishna de Machnashu, that this word Karmi is a lashon of heaping, of gathering. Omar Zutubid of Nachman, the Snag, the Mishnah. Kisei Shalkov is this launderer's chair. Shekurmim Olav, that they would heap on it, they would gather on it, Es HaKelim, the garments. Rashi says they had the fragrance burning underneath it, so the garments would absorb the smell. So charmi means to heap, to gather together, to pile up. So the pasuk here is referring to the chet eagle, which Hashem provides a kapara to Klal Yisrael. V'amar Shimon Levi, my dechsiv l'choyav ka'arugas haboisem. So Hashem's cheek was like this row of besamim called dibur v'dibur. Every word she'osav kadosh baruch hu that Hashem spoke by Har Sinai nismal lekol olam kulei besamim. The whole world filled up with psalmim. Says Zimar, how could you say that it happened successively? The kiva and the Hashem Dibur Rishon Nismali. Once the world entirely filled up as a result of the first Dibur. Dibur Sheni Leichon Halach. Where did the second Dibur go to? There was no room anymore. Says Zimar, Hoysak Rishborhu HaRuach Maitzreisav. Hashem took out a Ruach from his treasure by Yamave Rishon Rishon. And he would remove the first installment of psalmim, and he would remove it, take it away, and substitute it with the second installment. Shenemar sif soisav shishanim noitfeis mor over Hashem's lips are shishanim like roses noitfeis drip mor over this fragrance over, meaning removal. So it removed, Hashem arranged that it should be removed to allow for the second installment of psalmim. Atuki shishanim el shishanim, so they would repeat themselves. It would be an ongoing procedure. So by Har Sinai, every word Hashem uttered, as a result of that, Klal Yisrael was so frightened, and Neshama left their body. Shenemar, Nafshi, my nefesh Yotza left, Bedabur, when Hashem spoke. Says the word, the same question. Once the Neshama left, on account of the first Dibur, Dibur Rishon Yotza Nishmasan, Dibur Sheni Heich Kiblu. How did they hear? How did they receive the second Dibur? They're already gone. Says the Gemara, Hirid Tal? Hashem brought down Tal Du, Sha'asid Lachis, you made some special Dal, this Tal, this Du, which Hashem is going to use to be Machai Mason to resurrect the dead. Sha'asid Lachis, you made some Behech Yo'isam, and he revived them. And therefore they were there and available for the second Dibur as well. Shenemar, as it says, Geshem Nadav is the reign of graciousness, of generosity, Tonef Elikim, you spread above them, Tonef Elikim Hashem, you spread Nachalascha above your inheritance, Klal Yisrael Vanilla. So those who were weakened, Atoch Enanta, you've established and set up. So you revive them and help them to continue experiencing Matan Torah. So the Mefarshim point out that the first version of Shimon Levi is referring to those people who needed to get strength, to they became weakened due to the overwhelming experience, this fright, this fear of Matan Torah, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu was mighty, that some of that fragrance to strengthen them, to give them a chizuk. The second version here, that the Klal Yisrael, they lost their nefesh, that is another version of events. Some in Klal Yisrael had that experience, and for that Hashem needed to use the Tal to revive them. And finally, another version of Shimon Levi, V'omer Shimon Levi, called Dibur V'Dibur. Shiyotz V'Kadosh Baruch Hu, when every single word that came out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, during Matan Torah. You know what happened? Chazru Yisrael Acharim, Yud Beis Mil, Klal Yisrael were sent back, retracted 12 mil. So Rashi explains the Machne Yisrael, the encampment was this size. It was 12 mil by 12 mil, and the ones who were right in front of the camp, right by Har Sinai, they jumped back all the way to the back of the Machne, the entire distance of Yud Beis Mil. So apparently it happened to others as well, but the Gemara is referring to those in the front, that the most one would jump back is 12 mil, all the way to the back. So what happened as a result? They would take them and encourage them, slowly walk them. They would tar them to the front, like one does to a child. Instead of being Yudoidin, El Yudadun, they would tar them, they would walk them slowly back to their position. So once again, we have three versions of Shimon Levi, what took place, and the Farshim speak out. He's referring to different types of classes of Yidden, different madrigas, different spiritual levels. There were those who merely needed a little extra encouragement, chizik with the psalmim. The ones that actually passed out and needed to be revived. The ones on a level which required them to jump back. So depending on their situation, they responded in kind, and Hashem revived them by either bringing out the psalmim or the tal to revive them, or the malachim to bring them back into position. When Moshe went up to Shamayim, so Malach HaSharis asked Hashem, Mali Yulud Isha Beinenu. What is this human being, a Yulud Isha, born by a woman? What's he doing between us? We're spiritual entities here. Amar Lahem LeKabel Torah, but he came to accept the Torah. Amar LeFanav. How could that be? Chamuda Gnuza, this Chamuda, this dear gnuza, this hidden thing, this dear treasure, she gnuza lecha, that was hidden by you, tisha meis v'shivim ba'arba deres, for 974 generations, koidem shenir roilom, it's been around so long, hidden as a treasure, atom of vakesh litna basal adam, now you're going to give it to a human being, a mere flesh and blood, ma enosh kesis kerenu. What is a person worth that you should remember him, a ben Adam, kifkedenu, and a ben Adam that you should recall him? Hashem Adonainu, Hashem our master, ma adesh shimcha, your name is so great, b'chal ha'aret, asher tanoitcha l'shamayim, rather, place your glory up in heaven, that's where it belongs, not down on the earth. Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'moyshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns to Moshe and he says, hech solem tshuva, respond to them. Omer lo fanav, so Moshe says, I can't. Ribbono shelem, misyare ani, I'm fearful. Shema Yisrafuni, perhaps they'll burn me up, behevel shavapiyam, with the breath of their mouths. Amar Leis, Hashem told them, don't worry, echoiz bekisei kvaydi, hold on to my throne, v'chazor lem tshuva, and respond to them. Shenemar, as it says, machaz pnei chisei parshez olav anone. So you meant to hold on, machaz pnei chisei, meant to hold on to my chair of glory, and this will enable you to respond. V'amar nochum melame, this teaches us, shepireish, Shapires Shakai Mizif Shchinasei Hashem spread from his Ziva Shchina Va'anonai Olav, and he made this Onan, he made it like a cloud above him, and this protected him from the Malachim. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu was prepared to respond now, but you need to know what the Torah was all about. Amar Lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam, Torah Shata Noisenli, this Torah that you're going to give me, Maksiva, what's enclosed therein? Well, what does it involve? So he said, Anoicha Hashem Lekecha, Asher Et Yisicha, Meretz Yisrael. So Hashem responded with the first one of the Seres HaDibris. Amar Lehem, so using this ammunition, now that he knew what was involved in the Torah, what the Torah contained, Amar Lehem, so he turned to the Malachim, he says, this is not suitable for you. Le Mitzrayim Yiratem, have you gone down to Mitzrayim? Le Farei Ishtabatem, have you been enslaved to Paru? Torah Lamaitesh Lachem, why should the Torah be given to you? This is something which human beings experienced. This is something appropriate for us. Shuv Maksiva. Again, he asks Hashem, what else does it say in the Torah? Lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim. You shouldn't worship idols. Bein amim atem shruim. So he turned to them and he said, okay, if this is what's in the Torah, this doesn't pertain to you. Do you live amongst the Gentiles? Shoyed mamid zara, that you have this inclination. Shuv Maksiva. Again, what does it say in there? So Hashem says, Zoch Hashem Shabbos lekachay. So using that, he turns to the malachim again. He says, "Klomatam oisim malacha? Are you ones that engage in labor? Shatem tzrichem shvois, that you need the shvois, that you need the rest on Shabbos? That's not something for you." Again, he asks Hashem, "Shuv maksivba? What else does it say? Loisisa, don't swear falsely." So he turns to the malachim, "Masum matam benecha ish benecham? Do you have a business transaction which can bring you to swear falsely? Shuv maksivba? What else does it say? Kavis avicha v'simecha? Klum." Over aim, yesh lachem. Do you have a father or mother to respect? Shuv maksiva. What else does it say? Leisirzach. Don't kill. Leisinaf. Don't have znus. Leisignaf. Don't steal. Kineish penechem. Do you have jealousy amongst you? Yetzer hor yesh penechem. This evil inclination. Do you have that? So once they heard that, they were stumped. They realized that the Torah indeed is a human experience. Is meant for human experience. It's meant to be applied down here. In the Olam Hazeh Gashmi, it doesn't pertain to Malach. Miyad, immediately, hoidu l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, they agreed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they acquiesced. Shenemar, as it says, Hashem Adonenu, Mo'ad Hashimcha, how great your name, B'chal Ha'aretz. And this time they didn't say, T'noid Chal HaShemayim, V'ilu, T'noid Chal HaShemayim, place your glory up in heaven, like Siv doesn't say. So they agreed that this Torah is meant for Klal Yisrael down there below. As we mentioned earlier, Torah is meant to recreate that word below, to use those physical tools to be encouraged them, to elevate them, to transform them to an entity of Ruchnis. Okay, so in summary, we learned that called Dibur B'Dibur Shiyotzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu was split into 70 languages so all the nations can hear the Torah, the Seres HaDibrois. We learned that two Ksarim were tied to every Dibur. We learned that the whole world filled up with Psamim on account of each Dibur. The Neshamas of Yisrael left. The Yisrael reverted backwards to the back of the Machne, as a result of this overwhelming experience of Matan Torah. And we conclude with this story, that Moshe Rabbeinu debated with the Malachim, and in conclusion, they agreed to his approach that Torah indeed is suitable specifically for mortal beings, for people of Basar Vedam. Okay, a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with the discussion of Reisin Rabbanon, and we proceeded with the Torah, which is a triple Torah. And then we had the description of the Kaf Aleihem, HaKegigis Hashem. He took the mountain and hovered it above Klal Yisrael. The Gemara told us that eventually, during the time of Achashverosh, they were mekabel the Torah mi'avas hanes. Hashem stipulated a condition with the Maaseh Bereishis. You must wait. You're pending. Your existence depends on Kabbalah HaTorah, which is the true goal and purpose of the world. We learned that Klal Yisrael expressed a very lofty expression of Nasev and Ishma, which is akin to Malachim, who absolutely are committed to Ratzon Hashem. We learned that due to that, they received the Shnei Ksarim. We had the story with the Tzduki, where Rabbi told him that out of love to Hashem, we're totally dependent on Him. We follow Him blindly. We know that whatever He gives us, whatever instructions He instructs us, are suitable and perfect based on our ability and our capacity. We learned about the chavivus that Hashem had even after Klal Yisrael did the eagle. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that immediately following the eagle, Hashem instructed them to build a shechina so they can rest amongst them. We learned about the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power that they had, and we concluded with the story of Moshe Rabbeinu with the Malachim.